He spoke at our full gospel breakfast, and then we had him at our church on the Sunday. But this year, the full gospel Businessmen International, the Arizona chapter, asked Pastor Steve to come and be their guest speaker, and he did that. And the conference was phenomenal. We had a lot of people from our church. I think more than half of the people at the conference were from our church. And I noticed something, that when he came in, he began to activate people's lives through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus. And by Sunday morning, there were people in our church that you never thought that would ever testify, were standing up and testifying. One lady hated her husband. She was spending all her time and money fighting him in a court of law. And she came in after the weekend and she said, "I'm going to forgive him." Now that was the biggest miracle I've seen, because she was never going to forgive him. So we just want to thank you, Pastor Steve. I enjoyed having you at our house again, and it was a blessing that we could spend time. So it's just been a couple of weeks ago, Steve and I were together, and I'm here this morning. Anybody this morning, and you have a pain in your left hand? Anybody? Who's got a pain in their left hand this morning? Anybody? Thumb or left hand? Nobody? Okay. I just felt that maybe there was somebody this morning. Father God, I just thank you for this word you're about to give me this morning, that it will bring life to places where it needs to be, bring life to. Where does my help come from? Psalms 121 says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, he will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." Everybody needs help at some times in their lives. Amen. Some of us need help on a daily basis. What do you need help with today, church? Do you need help with anything today? Everybody needs help at some time. Some of us need help on a daily basis. Is it your marriage, a relationship, your children, sickness, work-related help, a job, money, your home, your car, or do you feel spiritually isolated? Let's face it, help does not come easily. Even if it does come soon, the supply will dry up. So where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Does anybody get that? The Lord our God, the creator of heaven and earth, he watches over us day and night. He does not sleep or slumber. One time I was at a conference, and this preacher, he's a well-known international preacher, was speaking, and he said, "God sleeps and slumbers." And I got a terrible feeling in my spirit. I felt like walking out. God does not sleep or slumber. He's ever liveth to make intercession. Jesus, it says, the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession. He's praying for you night and day. Night and day. Amen. Our help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He watches over us day and night. He does not sleep nor slumber. What does slumber mean? Slumber means a natural and periodic state of rest during which consciousness of the world is suspended. So we know from that statement and from that definition that God does not sleep nor slumber. A dormant or quiescent state, so that we see God is forever watching over us. He is our shade. He protects us from the harsh sunlight, and at night he protects us. He protects us from all harm. Some harm? No, all harm. He watches over all of our movements, where we go, what we do, and so on and so on. God is ever liveth, Jesus is ever liveth, making intercession for the Father on our behalf so that you and I can reach our full potential. Why do we, as people of God, need to reach our full potential? Because there's a plan and purpose for every one of us. You don't realize that there's a plan and a purpose. You just didn't come to this church on Sunday morning just to hear some speaker from America speaking. You came here this morning to realize there's a plan and purpose. Not everybody's the preacher, but everybody has a calling. Everybody, when you become a born-again Christian, you're engrafted into the body of Christ. It's like when you become when you go into the army, how many of you ever were in the army or the Air Force or the Navy? I was in the South African Air Force. And when you're in the army, you don't rest. You constantly have to be vigilant and watch. And so what I'm trying to say to you this morning, I don't care how old you are, God has something for you to do. The pastor is only the overseer of the church. The real movement of this church is the people, what you do during the week. Yes. Coming to church on Sunday should not be that 1 hour that you give to God. Coming to church on Sunday should be a celebration of what we did during the week. Amen. It should be that time when we come back and we get recharged into the things that God wants us to do. Amen. Psalms 54:4 says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. What does sustain mean? It means to keep in existence, maintain, continue, or prolong, to supply with necessities or to nourishment, to provide for. He wants to provide. He wants to sustain you because he has a specific purpose. Now, let me say something to you. I said this last night, that God can trust us as we get older. I remember when I was young in ministry, and I was gung-ho, and I wanted to save the whole world. But sometimes God allows us to mature a little bit. So why? Because he wants to trust us. God will give you all those things he has for you when he can trust you. He's not going to give you those things when he cannot trust you, because he cannot trust you with something that's so beautiful, something so powerful. He can't trust you with the lives of the people that he's going to give you. He can sometimes trust you with the finances he wants to give you. Why does God want to bless you? I believe God wants to bless us financially. Why? There's a dying world out there. When I fly on the airplane to come to England, or I go to South Africa, wherever I go in the world, British Airways doesn't say, oh, we got Pastor Pete on the plane, we're going to give him a free ticket. No, no. When I go to the hotels, I have to pay. God gives us the finances so that we can reach a lost world. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. How many of you have some fear in your life this morning? Do you know what fear stands for? F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. We as Christians should have no fear. We should be walking and knowing that God has his hand upon us to accomplish everything that he set for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose stream may glad the city of God. You see, it doesn't matter what's happening on planet earth, God will take care of you. He has you in the palm of his hand. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High God dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What does refuge mean? It means protection or shelter as from danger or hardship. He's your protector. You can fly on any plane and you just pray. You say, thank you, Father God. I thank you for releasing ministering angels to take over this plane. God sets, in Psalm 68:6, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What does a solitary mean? It means alone, without companions, unattended, living alone, avoiding the society of others, living a solitary existence by itself, all alone. So when God sets the solitary in families, what he's doing is he's taking those lonely people and he's bringing them out so that he can give them the plan and let them live the life. Solitary means alone, without any companions, unattended, living alone, avoiding the society of others, living a solitary existence by itself, all alone. God brings the lonely into families. Some of you may have come into this church all alone, but God called you into the family of God, and now you have friends and people that you can call your family. Those who are destined for favor and prosperity, he will bring them out of the situations they are in. But if you are rebellious, you will be living in a dry place. Now, let me say something to you this morning. God wants to give his people everything. He wants to give you all of those attributes. When you become a Christian, you take on the nature of God. You take on the nature of Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. So everything that God has for us, he wants us to have it so that we can be effective. When Jesus walked the earth, did Jesus ever beg for money? I never read once Jesus had flu, did you? When Jesus walked the earth, the only thing he suffered was when the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the A's and B's and C's said bad things about him. Now count it all joy when somebody says something bad about you, because you know now you're in the presence of God. Now you know. The Bible says, Jesus says, people will persecute you for my name's sake. Don't worry about it. The only suffering that we should do on planet Earth is when people find fault with us. He's given us everything to make our life successful. Why? Because there's a dying world out there. God will give those people the finances they need if they have a heart to give it. In Psalm 68, in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's things that you and I have no control over. There's things that you and I face on a daily basis that in the natural we cannot do. My wife and I are in a situation right now where we're dealing with something. We have no, Lord, just sanctify that water. I don't know how long it's been there, but it's fresh. Glass needs to be cleaned, but anyway. There's things that we in our natural cannot deal with. We can pray. All of our friends pray. But we see God's hand moving in the situation, and God's doing something that we could not do in our own natural strength. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me say that to you again. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. What it should be saying is we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. We have a Jesus that wants to help us. But in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus got tempted. He got tempted. Do you think Jesus was not tempted? He was tempted. Let us therefore come boldly. How do we come to the throne room of grace? We come boldly. Why do we come boldly? Because if I loved my Father so much and I knew my Father loved me, I didn't go like, oh, Dad, please, I need like 5 shillings. It was 5 shillings when I was a kid. I need 5 shillings to go to the movie. Oh, please, Dad, I'll bow before you. Now, hey, Dad, can I get a 10 bob so I can go to the movies? And I knew that he'd give me the money for the movies. Because he loves me and I loved him. Come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive mercy in your time of need. Don't hide behind something. Go before him. He's your Father. He loves you. Amen. The problem with the church today is we don't know that Jesus is our Father. We don't have a relationship with God like we have a relationship that we should have with our fathers. Because some of us did not have the right fathers, so we have a hard time dealing with God. But he's the ultimate Father. I don't care how good or bad your parents were. God is the Father that will always love you. In Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen to that, amazing. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Our church, are you getting excited this morning? Amen. He wants to bless us. In Galatians 5:16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Some of the most successful people in the world are people like you and I, just ordinary people facing opposition on a daily basis. But the difference between successful people And people who are in trouble is that successful people, their success is determined by the way of treating their problems and their attitude to become overcomers. There are people that are successful, but they face problems. And why are they successful is because of the way that they treat their problems and they live their lives. Many years ago, the Lord said, I want you to preach on faith. Now, I've been around faith teachers. I've been around people that preached on faith. I even preached messages on faith, but I could not get this message started. Now, isn't it funny? We always go to God at the last minute instead of going to Him first of all. We should allow God to be part of our lives in everything we do. And I wait and I said, how am I going to preach this? And the Lord said, now, you need to preach on faith. So finally, after 3 or 4 days trying to think this out in my own strength, I went into my bedroom, I got on my knees, and I said, Father God, please help me. And He said, Hebrews 1:9. I never heard of Hebrews 1:9. I've been reading the Bible for many, many years. Hebrews 1:9 says, because you have loved righteousness and you hated lewdness, and then it says, God, your God, has anointed your head with the oil of gladness more so than your friends. I'm going to say that again to you. Because you have loved righteousness and hated sin, God, you see, this, everybody knows God. They use it as a cuss word. Every religion has a God. But it says, because you love righteousness and you've hated sin, God, then it says something even more. Your God, Abba Father, your God. There's millions of people in the world, they know God, but our God is our God. He's like our Father. And you know what He says? If you live a righteous life, I anoint your head with the oil of gladness more so than your friends. Church, I want to tell you something right now. Some of you are just sketching the surface in living a Christian life. I get so excited. I shared last night on the favor of God, how God allowed me to move in favor just this last couple of days. God wants to bless us. God wants to give you every single thing that you need to get you through. Not because you want to boast that you have a big banking account. No, he wants to give you a big banking account so that you can empty it and He'll constantly fill it because you have a plan and a purpose to reach the lost. Amen. Some of the most successful people in the world are people like you and I, just ordinary people facing opposition on a daily basis. But the difference between successful people and people who are in trouble is that successful people, their success is determined by the way of treating problems and their attitude to becoming overcomers. In 2 Kings 7:3, now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to one another, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go to the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let us go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, then we die. Yeah, you see 4 lepers. They couldn't go into the city because leprosy was a very contagious disease. And so they had to stay on the outskirts of the city and beg. The 4 lepers were sitting on the outskirts of the city and they said, well, we can't go into the city. There's a drought. So if we go in the city, we're going to die. But if we stay here, we're going to die. But there's an army, a powerful army down the street. And if we go there and we beg them for food and they don't give us food, we're going to die. Now, let me say something to them. Their future was pretty bleak. I don't think anybody here this morning has such a bleak future as these 4 men. And they said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go to the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, then we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Come on, church, you've got to get excited. Yes, 4 lepers, starving. They cannot go anywhere. The only outcome that they have, the only future they have, is that they're going to die. And they go to the edge of the camp of this powerful army. And when they get there, and there's something that's amazing, at dusk. I've pondered on that word dusk for many years. What is dusk? Does anybody know dusk? Is it morning or evening? Where's dusk? Huh? At dusk, they went. And abandoned, they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran off for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. These four lepers were desperate for God's help. They had no chance of making it. So they went to the camp. But when they got there, God had allowed the army to be afraid and run away. It says that the army heard the sound of chariots and they got afraid. Let me say something to you. You can be weak and feeble, but if you love God and you have an enemy, He'll allow the sound of chariots to go forth. When you're most desperate, God will come through. Yeah, four desperate lepers had nowhere to go. The outcome of whatever they did was going to be death. But they took a chance. We need to take a chance. And they went forward to the greatest army of that time, and they were about to walk into the camp. But what happened at that time, as they reached the edge of the camp, this army heard chariots coming. Chariots coming. The roar of God was moving. The roar of God wants to move and move your enemies out of your life so that you can fulfill what He's called you to do. Let me say something to you. Some people die prematurely. God is no hurry to get you to heaven, church, please. He's not in a hurry. He said that He'd give us 120 years. Why did He want to give us 120 years? Because it takes you till you get to about 60 or 70 before you're mature enough to receive those things so that you can be effective in what He wants you to do. We live in a different atmosphere as Christians. We live in a miracle atmosphere where God wants to fulfill every need we have. The only people that are stopping God from doing what He wants to do is the people themselves because they don't have a faith level of expectation. I've got another story. You got time for another story? 1 Samuel 22, 2 to 4. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those were in distress. He was with about 400 men, David. He was in the cave of Adullam. And David was afraid. Now, you know, this is amazing that David was afraid because, yeah, David as a young boy, he tore a lion apart. He fought a bear. And he killed Goliath. And here he is with 400 men sitting in a cave. He became the captain of the Lonely Hearts Club. 400 losers sitting in a camp. Listen to what happened. And it says there, all these men were with him were in distress or in debt or discontented, gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 were with him. We look at King David. Yes, as a kid, he killed Goliath. He killed a lion and a hyena with his bare hands. Yet he was destined to be king. Yet even he was afraid and hid in the cave of Adullam with the 400 men. They were all scared. It's funny. It says that the 400 men had debt. Do you remember they had debt? How many of you got debt? They were in distress. They were discontented. Now, let me say something to you. I believe in that camp. Many were divorced, displaced, denied, deranged, depleted, destitute, in denial, disabled, disconnected, dubious, disenchanted, demoralized. Many were in discord. There was division, demonized, deflated, delirious, deranged, dismayed, and disillusioned. It took me a long time to find the D words, but there's a reason why I'm mentioning those D words. Every one of those words starts with the letter D. That means that the devil has his hand on those words. These people were affected by the devil. Let me read it again to you because, I mean, I just love all these words. I don't love them, but I love that I found them. It was funny. It says,